Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat, Chris, and Greg will be joining us shortly. But we want to talk to you about a wonderful, wonderful program that we have in store for you today. Pat, talk to us. I know that you had an adventurous weekend, and you broke some of your golden rules. I mean, what happened?
Yeah.
And you were talking to me about that, and I know you're so fit and trim.
Right, right, right.
What transpired?
Man, I broke every rule in the book.
Every rule.
Man, I ate so much junk this weekend.
What happened?
I felt like I just sinned. I need to repent.
Oh, my God. But you were doing so good.
I was. I just, you know, it was my wife's birthday this weekend. So to celebrate this memorial.
Are you blaming this on your wife?
No.
Okay.
I just use it as an excuse. I ate this big, nasty, sloppy, greasy cheeseburger this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
French fries. Big bowl of ice cream.
Okay, that's normal for me and Chris right now. We're wondering what's...
I hadn't done that in months and months and months.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was definitely a treat.
How
what
did
he's
that...
saying is that we're in sin.
That's what
no,
it sounds like.
I was
like.
In sin.
Oh.
I understand.
Oh.
The measuring rod.
Mm.
The measuring rod.
Mm. Right,
I think right. We're being... what do you think of us? I mean, if you just
actually
order dessert and
you
feel that bad.
I think y'all are just doing wonderful. I'm just, you know, me personally.
I mean, if I had pizza and hot wings this weekend.
Uh-oh, forget about it.
I'm not bringing Chris up. And, I mean, what do you think? I mean, what are you thinking about us?
I'm not thinking anything, really.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, the fries, the burger, I mean.
You're looking at these folks, you know, you're looking at them and you know, I just think it's good that you're able to do that. And, and you're thinking, they're looking at themselves and they're saying, man, I'm fat, they say. And I'm thinking, I'm standing in front of you and I'm looking at your vertebrae from in front of you. If you weren't wearing two or three shirts to thicken yourself up
right.
And calling yourself fat, it's like, come on, that's a stronghold.
Mm.
Mm.
You know, and it's like, the thing about this is, if I can see your backbone from in front of you, and you're calling yourself fat, what in the world do you think about John? Yeah, what do you think about John?
Yeah, come on, what do you? Come on, talk to me.
And if you think about John, I mean, you know, he's a measure of it, but I'm a taller measure of it.
There you go.
And there you go.
Come on. Bring
I'm
it.
Like, and then so they look at them and you go, are you calling me fat? They go, no.
I wouldn't do that.
As you hear their vertebrae rattle together because there's no, you know, packing peanuts between the between the bones, me and the. What's that noise right there? That's so and so running. Rattle, rattle, rattle. We just kind of coosh, right? Coosh, coosh, coosh.
Boom, boom.
Boogity, 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 boogity. And that's 5 minutes after we stopped, right? At least stopped our jumping jacks, from what I heard.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know what I'm saying? So what, you ordered dessert? Is that what this is?
No, I went and bought it. Went to the store, picked it up, took it home.
Oh.
I could really, really savor it. You know, after you stuff yourself, you can't really enjoy desserts. I waited until later.
That's actually smart, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Nothing personal to the restaurants, but we could buy 15 for the price you charge us for a slice.
Oh, my goodness.
So we picked up a gallon of strawberry cheesecake ice cream with chunks of cheesecake in it.
Sounds like Bluebell to me.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what brand it was, but it was good.
It, referring to you saw the bottom of the container?
No. It's the bottom of the bowl.
No.
Three scoops.
All I got to say is this.
Yes.
Thank God. That I don't love chips.
Oh, no doubt.
Or ice cream.
Huh.
I mean, there's some things I love, but if I love that in addition to that,
my goodness.
You wouldn't even know there was a backbone anywhere around.
No doubt.
And that's a gift from God. I mean, I can eat a chip. But really, I mean, it takes a couple extra angels to keep Pat away from chips.
It does, boy. I have to look at them. No, can't do it.
Isn't that amazing?
Them chips are crazy. Some of those chips
they're
are
addictive.
Oh, that's right. You're a chip, too.
It is. Oh, I think they
sprinkle
drugs on them. I don't know. Something.
Do. Some kind of substance. Gluttony.
Glutamine.
You sprinkle gluttony on top of the things. And it just makes you want more of them, more of them, more of them.
No doubt.
I was sitting at the doctor's office speaking to Pat. And I was talking to this man. And real nice man, older man. He lives in Alberta, Alabama.
Mm,
and Alberta. He traveled to see the doctor. And we're talking, and he's talking to me, and he's an older man, like Pat's age. And he says, "My cholesterol, well, how's your cholesterol?" And for some reason, I don't know why I want cholesterol. And some things that just don't try to bring up, try to bring down.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you, your cholesterol, and they give you a number like, okay.
What meanest thou this?
If we're playing hockey, that's really, really, right. really good. you right. know. And if we're playing whatever else, it could be really bad. Anyway, he looks at me, he goes, "Nah, I got a weakness." And I'm thinking, yeah, this guy's probably in his 70s or something, you know. And I'm thinking, bless your heart, you deserve a weakness in regards to the cholesterol. And prior to me knowing that it was sin, now that I've heard from Pat, that it's sin. If it is sin to you, it is sin.
I'm just saying.
That's a shame. For maybe you have sinned, you know. In Romans chapter 14, this is what I read. You know, whatever you eat, you don't eat, you know. But, you know, if your brother thinks it's sin, don't, you know, hey, sorry.
Yeah, so don't be eating that stuff around me anymore.
You need to repent. Repent. If I show up with chips on my lips, I didn't know it was there. Anyway, so he looks at me and he says, "I love junk food." And I thought, oh, my goodness, bless his heart. Because that was such a meaningful, deep confession that I'm telling the world now.
Great.
But I'm not going to give you his name, even though he's from the metropolis of Alberta.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking, what does he eat? And I was very curious. What does this older gentleman eat that brings him such deep conviction when it comes to his cholesterol numbers? And I said, giving a little pause between it. So what, you know, what is the junk food? Pizzas and hot wings. No, he didn't say that. Oh, I was just trying to get a reaction. He said, "I like potato chips. I like chips."
Mm.
Look at you. Your eyes roll back in your head.
He went there.
Mm. Man, that
come,
was...
Come back.
It
come
probably
back.
Is sin. I saw you. Yeah. Your whole body contort.
Yeah.
Come out of him. And, oh my goodness, chips went everywhere, guys. He's right there. I said, "What, do you eat a whole bunch of them?" And he says, "Well, no. Well, I just like them. And I like peanuts."
Mm.
And I'm thinking, man, John's weakness is way worse than that. You know, he's a thin guy and all that. I'm thinking, that is something, ain't it? He's feeling bad. You know, let me tell you something. The Lord has come to set us free. And don't let the enemy put some law on you where you spend your whole life in the middle of a blessing and you feel weighted down over something so ridiculous. You know, stay free. I mean, obviously, you don't want to, you know, overindulgent in things, but you can keep the freedom that God has set you free in. And you can spend your whole life being condemned because you ate a potato chip when you really should have been out in the world preaching the gospel and be condemned for doing what was right.
Mm.
And the enemy can put you on a treadmill of your scale, of your measuring your, not just measuring your weight, but measuring your righteous walk. And constantly tripping you up and making you focus on you and you and you and you. And when people come to talk to you, after a while they stop talking because you're like a black hole that just sucks. This black hole that's just, the enemy's putting this blackness over your life, this darkness. And you're not doing anything but just being condemned. And Jesus Christ didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That condemnation comes from the enemy trying to keep you from enjoying the blessing and going out into all the world and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're joking around about, you know, eating and that type of thing. But the truth is, you can make anything a sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can create this law on you that it's a, it takes power of you. And many people are struggling with appetites of all kinds because they created some law over them. And the law is the power of sin. The very fact that you drew a line in the sand when you should have just fell at the blood of the cross and it said, "Dear God, help me." Because you drew the line, you spend your whole life on the wrong side of the line, dragging your body back over, repenting because you created a law. You created these laws. And believe me, it comes naturally to human nature. And the ones that really people really, really like are the ones that they can obey. But the truth is, when you fall down at the foot of the cross and you realize that Jesus fulfilled the law, and you put your total trust in the finished work of the cross of the Christ, then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will empower you to say no to what you couldn't say no to before. He'll empower you to walk out of life in the light that you never thought possible before. This is what he says. Jesus says in John 15, he says, apart from doing this, you can do nothing. You're just going to constantly fail. And the way that the mindsets that have been taught for so many years, you know, I'm a self-made man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, you know, and there is something to, you know, being steadfast, but we lay that all at the cross. I was thinking, Donna and I were talking about her horse that she had when she was young, and it's amazing. She was riding down a dirt road on her horse and with her cousin. And her, the horse did something, I think probably stopped or something, and there's no seatbelts on a horse.
No.
And either way, they fell off the horse, and her little cousin, you know, ran home, and Donna was there up under the feet of the horse.
Oh, wow.
And the horse, you understand, like a 2,000-pound horse. And this horse was being so careful not to hurt her.
Wow.
But at the same time, trying to step around, as she describes it. And he did accidentally, unintentionally, you know, step somewhat on her leg. But did it so, you know what I'm saying? He was so being so gentle. I mean, we were a giant like that. And you think about these 2,000-pound muscle who can pull, and I mean, we call cars horsepower because we define how fast a car goes by how many horses it would take to pull it that fast. And it allows us to get on its back, saddle it up, put a bit in its mouth. It allows you to do this if you take authority over it and you meek it, you train it, and build a relationship with it, where it knows you and you know the horse, then even though it's powerful, even though it can take you miles, even though it could crush you, even though it could just stop suddenly, throw you over its shoulder, and just begin to stomp you as it did Jezebel. You know about that, right?
That's right.
That it will just carefully make sure you're all right. And as a giant, you got to be careful. I mean, you know how it is when you're walking around with big feet and all that, and I mean, you got to have mercy for those folks. They're doing their best, you know. And that's just such a great picture of what, you know, so many people think being humble in God means being weak. No, being humble, it means being like that horse. It's that you have all your strength, but we submit it and build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we allow him to direct us like a bit in a horse's mouth, like a rudder on a huge ship. We allow that to happen to us and walk in relationship with God. And what happens, we begin to do things we thought we could never do before. We don't give up our strength. We submit our strength to God. And he says, use it here and use it there and, you know, carry the gospel this far and do this and do that. And it's called meeking. And so we got to be real careful because we didn't become unstrong. We got to be careful that we use our strength and humility before God, listening to what he says. And the reason why he talks about it in James chapter 3 about the tongue is because that is our rudder. That is our bit. And the words of God, the Bible, the scripture that we talk about, you need to abide with God. You got to get full of the word of God because that's like water passing over the rudder of a ship. It'll come out of your heart and pass over your tongue, and it'll direct the course of your life. Because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. If you're just trying to just take a sip of the Word of God every now and then, imagine just one drop of water hitting a rudder of a ship in the midst of an ocean, and you're complaining because nothing happens to your direction in life. Nothing happens to your direction in your marriage. Nothing happens to the direction in your business or in your country or nation or your ministry, your church. But now imagine a heavy flow of water gushing from deep down a well that he talks about, the infilling of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and just rushing over your mouth. And all of a sudden you take your tongue and you shape the words that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no other hope but him. You begin to bind devils and loose people and speak healing over people and preach the kingdom of God with the strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. You want to change your life? You're going to have to change your thoughts. And if you want to change your thoughts, you're going to have to change what you're seeing and what you're hearing. You got to spend time with the one who will empower you. It's a grace. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm telling you, if you try to logically figure this out, you're just going to bog down in your own pride and mire and stuff. But if you just go, I trust God, I'm just going to hang out with God, and as I behold him, I'm going to be transformed into his image and his likeness, and I'm going to be like this 2,000-pound horse, and though I could stomp or slam on brakes or whatever, and I could stomp, I'm going to carefully be careful how I use what God has given me to build up and not to tear down. I'm going to allow his word, his law, to be in my heart, not my own law. The freedom that he's given me, the blessing that he's given me, to be able to enjoy, but also let other people enter into the blessing. I want to encourage you today. If you want to change the direction of your life, it's real simple. Like that horse, maybe you've been running around like a wild stallion. You love it, you bounce, you run through the fields, you got your buddies you run through the fields with, or your girls you go to the fields with, and you just, you know, but you know what? You're no good but for that. That's all you can do. But when you allow yourself to be meeked by the trainer, when you allow yourself to be meeked, but trained by God, trained by the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden you're no longer this wild stallion that people can only observe but you can't get close to because you're going to hurt somebody. All of a sudden they start, look at that horse. Look at that Tennessee Walker. Look at that quarter horse. Look at that man. Look at that woman. Look at that strength under control. Look how they make that jump. Look how they pull that plow. Look how they walk in procession. Look how they pull that carriage. Whatever. I mean, the comparisons go back and forth. People are amazed. The natural tendency of human beings is to look at strength under control, submitted to God, and they stand in amazement. Stand in amazement. Why don't you begin to amaze people today and say, you know, Lord, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to quit letting just anything run over my rudder and complain about where my ship ends up. I want your word to come out of my mouth. I want to be full of the Word of God. I want to be trained by the Holy Spirit. I want to hang out with you. I want to abide with you. If that's you today, man, go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. If you don't know him yet, if you know of him, go to meetmyfather.org. We've got shared a couple of our stories. And make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's going to be the most awesome thing you have ever done.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A Abortion laws are on the forefront, but what should we do about adoption laws? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
With all the abortion issues coming up, coming back into the courts, is now the time to press our state representatives to create new adoption laws to simplify that process?
No doubt about it. I think that is, number one, it's a necessary aspect of the pro-life cause, and that is to support the easy adoption of children that need homes. And that's the alternative that we want to make available. So the answer, yes, Jim, is it's time to go to your state legislature. That's exactly correct. And press for adoption laws that make it easy for parents to adopt children and to give these children a home. And that is a part of the overall pro-life perspective that we need to be advocating. And I'm actually quite encouraged that we're getting laws moving in the right direction.
The ACLJ is committed to the sanctity of human life. Learn more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. There's so many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word just coming out that moment in time. From the VFN Dream Center, you need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the thing, the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. I didn't read it for a long time because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to talk about it, spacious skies, purple seas, and purple mountains and majesty. And it had nothing to do with that. And but one consistent theme, other than, of course, God throughout the book, is sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And if you want to be a part, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part, a player in the kingdom, if you want to quit being a spectator, if you're ready to get involved and do be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not an itching ear dictator, demanding from others what you want to hear, but somebody who says, I want to hear from God and I want to be a doer of the word and blessing all that I do. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. I just want to encourage you today, if you have not just heard the first part of today's program, you need to hear it. Stay with us, because I don't know... if you know why we're here, but we're here because God said, be here.
That's right.
And there was such an urgency to be here talking to you that if we didn't tell you this, you might not have ever been told this. And outside the, you know, Ezekiel 17, that we would have been held accountable before God for that. The fact is, look at the other paradigm. That means you need to listen. You need to listen to what's being said. We're not... You know, although it's, you know, we, you know, I really feel there's so much pressure today, there's so much tension that we, no matter what, you know, we need to enjoy our life on the way to where God is taking us in the context in God. I mean, there's really no life to be enjoyed outside of God, because, you know, we're speaking to the church, to the backslider, we're calling you back home, and we're also speaking to the one that the Lord is calling to him. Outside of that, we really don't have anything to say in regards to who are we to tell you how to live your life, or, you know, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. So, you know, understand that if you chose not to believe and you chose not to walk with God, that that's not, we're not talking to you. So you're living your life ever how you're living your life, but we are talking to the believer. We're talking to the one who professes to have Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Secondly, to the one who's being drawn to God. You have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but you feel him drawing. You feel like, you know, I just want to know more about Jesus. I just feel drawn. This is the Spirit of God. No man comes to the Lord unless he's drawn by the Spirit of God. And that's God drawing you. Mm-hmm. And we're here for you. We're excited about this. And also we're here for the one who once walked with God and now no longer walks with God, who once walked in the light but now walks in darkness. And we're speaking to you. And primarily a lot of you guys, you're going to listen like this and understand that God will forgive the prodigal. God will cleanse you, forgive you, restore you. I mean, the whole world was a prodigal. And you might have a few scars. You might have a few, you know, remember wins in your life. But understand, mm-hmm. you'll be totally forgiven if you come back to God. So that's why we're here. And to me personally, knowing the world that we're living in, knowing that what I'm about to talk about, what's happening in the Middle East, and we're given God's news behind the news perspective, why would you want to listen to anything else? I love music, but if all you do is listen to songs all day long, you're going to sing your way into the showers at the concentration camp. You know what I'm saying? You're going to sing your way into the trains, into the ghettos, the concentrated area to protect you, you know, the type of thing. JJ. And so we do have a balance, the balance of everything. And so you need to hear, and then you need to hear it, I believe, conversationally. You need to just hear it. It's just a natural, this is what Jesus did. Jesus just talked. You know, he said, look at these thorns over here. Look at these stones. Look at these rocks. You know, look at these children. Look at the water. And he's having a conversation, God's having a conversation with us because, first of all, that just opens us up to really connect and relate. Then he uses the things around us to be able to talk about the gospel. But then he gives us his perspective, the Father's perspective, God's perspective of what's going on. And then he expects us to walk in it. And that's what we really hope that we're doing for our listeners of VFN Radio. And so outside of, I mean, I really don't personally know. I mean, we're not someone that's going to speak against everything. So obviously, you know, you're not going to get that here. But we're intensely going to hopefully give you insight that God is speaking. God's voice. Listen, the day before the Secretary of State, John Kerry, got up and said what he said this last week, I guess. Was it last week? Yeah, last week. The day before, God told me this was going to happen and showed me and gave me a particular number which represented the very time that he was going to be doing it. The awesome thing is right now, it's slammed on brakes. Because they were planning on, he put his best case out at 1:06 Eastern time, and he was speaking on behalf of our president to fire these shots into Syria, and he wasn't doing that on his own. Obviously, he was. We're not going to get too deep into the spiritual DNA of what's really going on right at this moment, but it wasn't hours later until he was totally humiliated for taking the stand, and things were turned over to Congress, which is, by the way, if you don't know this or not, that's actually a right thing to do in a country called America, because it's the Congress who represents you. That's the ones that you said, I want you to go to Washington, and I want you to see the operations and what's going on. I want you to remember us because you represent us, and I want you to integrate what we're telling you we need in our particular city or our region or whatever with them and make our voices heard there. So when you see stuff happening, I want you to go look it out, check it out. Well, originally what they were saying was, we're just going to forego letting the people know what's going on. Just the executive branch is going to make this decision, and which is be the president and his crew and his cabinet, that they would just go ahead and make the decision and do it. That's one man. But we have a balance of equal powers. We have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judiciary branch. And the legislative branch is Congress and Senate together. Those are your representatives. So when the president said, hey, I'm going to, for whatever, you know, what for whatever reason, and I really think you should pray for our president. We're praying for wisdom. And this is no matter what, this is a huge undertaking. This is a world thing going on right here. Everything's just amazing how big it is right now and how many, what's on the table. And I'm about to show you, and you'll be able to see this on the VFN Torch as well. But he says, I'm going to send it to Congress. Americans who know their Constitution should celebrate and thank the president for sending this huge decision to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's you. That's your representatives who will be able to see all the evidence, hear what's going on, and to be able to make a clear decision before they send our sons and daughters into war.
Right.
That's good. That's a real good thing. That's not a negative thing. And if it takes a little bit longer for you to find out what's going on before you agree or disagree with invading another country here, you know, why is it America? What got us into this place that all of a sudden we're the only country on the face of the earth that's going to respond to part of this 100,000 that was killed by chemical weapons,
right,
seemingly and reportedly like it was strategically done? Why wouldn't it be someone else? So understand, mm-hmm, I would actually celebrate. I would pray for your congressman and congresswoman and your senators. And I would communicate with them, you know, ask them to communicate with you. I think since it means that you may go to war, your son or your daughter may go to war in this, because no war, it seldom starts off like, hey, we're going to go to war. It's right. One shot that leads to war. It is the Duke Ferdinand moment, right?
Yeah. Right.
And just like dominoes begin to fall. And next thing you know, you're just sucked into the war. And
we're talking about bombing. You know,
yeah, bombing.
Missiles. Hello.
And the thing about it is, we're not talking, they have the largest Syria, which basically is if Israel was ahead, and it really is, and Syria was a hat, Syria, mm-hmm, is the hat on Israel. It's how, mm-hmm, it's there. It's like, mm-hmm, Damascus, they're talking about bombing, and Damascus is inside of Syria.
All right.
It's only like 90 miles to Haifa, which is inside of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how short it is. So, mm-hmm, if you come a little bit closer to the borders there, we remember riding on the northern borders.
Oh, yeah.
That we were watching the fences, and you could see into Lebanon and, mm-hmm, Syria. And that's pretty close for us to fire anything with, mm-hmm, nuclear, with chemical weapons there. And this is what reportedly one of the citizens of Syria said. I'm not concerned. It's Israel, the ones putting on gas masks.
That's right.
Mm. And they are, because their widest point is like 70 miles. But the question is this. As we talked about, if you missed it, you got to catch it last Friday. And we were having prophetic conversations, helping you understand end time prophecy, helping you understand what God's word says about Israel and about us and this end time and what's happening. And it was pretty amazing, you know, what the word of God says. And at the very end, we'll all be judged in the valley of Jehoshaphat, called the Valley of Decision, about what we did with Israel, mm, how we treated Israel,
right,
and how we treated the people. Israel is a people who is on a land, and a land that God's protecting. So you think about this. You think about, you know, all of us. It's kind of, you got to remember, as soon as something happens, everybody begins to kick into this mode it always was. You remember when I first started walking out the Malachi mandate, and I was sitting at a meeting, mm-hmm, with a few folks, and I said, here it is. You know, it's close. It's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this thing.
Right.
What's been going through your mind? You've been thinking about it. Right?
Right.
And one person, and I love honesty, and right, it's like, well, you know, I haven't really thought about it at all. And it was foreign to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we began to unfold what God was saying, and God was confirming what he was doing, different committees and things were formed, were this great unity of like maybe 70 plus different leaders. We had all the way governor, local political leaders, military force, law enforcement, all across the board in regards to the church, business leaders all gathered together in unity,
mm-hmm,
on this committee that we were all working together for the fatherless. And it was called the steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then people begin to be upset. Some people got upset because, they actually sent their wife to say they were upset. Remember that?
Yeah.
They sent their wife to say they were upset. That, and saw no shame in that.
All right.
I was like, well, Jezebel, just tell Ahab. this is Naboth's property, not his. Yeah. So, because he wanted to be on the steering committee. So he was acting as if it always was, as if we didn't want him to help us.
Hello.
You know, you know, it's like, we don't want help. Come on now. It's like benching weight, you know, like you're benching 300 pounds. And you got this, that means, so you're sitting on your back, you lay on your back, you're pressing your arms up, and you have these big discs on the side of this weight, and it's your arms holding this weight up, and somebody says, I can't believe you don't want me to help you.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, but that's just the enemy. So people just start acting like it always was. And that's a dangerous thing. What it means is this, is when you hear prophetic words and you hear God begin to warn you, the moment it happens, people kick into a different mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you begin to speak what God's going to do, most men don't pay attention. And as soon as it begins to happen, for example, say it was a building as an example, and you're speaking into existence, all of a sudden men show up telling you what color it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, let's just celebrate the fact that God told us this was going to happen.
All right.
Your brother Ken used to say, you're trying to build the first floor and they're talking about the second floor. Right, it's just like, we're believing God right now for what God's done right here. And so you have to remember, when you look at history, there was a time right before it happened. And then, by the way, when you do this, it kind of gives you more empathy towards the people who are walking during that time, because it takes a while when something new hits to integrate it into your reasoning and the way that you're living your life. You can look back in history and judge the people who it happened in their presence, but you have to understand it wasn't happening in their life prior to it happening.
Right.
So they had to go from how things used to be to how they are, and they had a little bit of adjustment, but you were born into it already happening, so you're like the person that's sitting there, maybe talking about some, quote, steering committee thing or the building, and it's easier for you because you're walking in the manifestation of other people's faith, what they had to believe God for. And by the way, and you can take it to the next level when you begin to believe God in your generation. And so with that, I think about, a car accident, for example. That, one moment, you're going to the store, you're, Pat, going to get a bag of chips or ice cream or something.
Mm.
And, or like Chris, going to the gym, to the gym. Quit flexing over there. He was flexing. And you weren't planning it. You weren't thinking about it. But all of a sudden, there's a car accident. And you hit somebody's car, somebody's car hits yours, and everything just stops. Boom. And suddenly your life is different. You're going to need to, it doesn't matter what was on your calendar, what was on your plan, that, there could be loss of life, there could be loss of mobility, there's definitely potentially, car damage, if not loss of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of a sudden, something you weren't dealing with becomes a reality in your life, and it just happens. Now, what would be cool is if you understood, hey, you can prevent accidents. And if somebody began to tell you, hey, this intersection up here at such and such street or this traffic light's not working, and pretty much so that those that have gone through it have been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was praying last night, or I was had a dream last night, or God just really spoke to me on biding time, and he said, watch out for this intersection. And that's prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a warning. So you can either go through these things and not plan for it. A prudent man sees danger and hears about the danger and hears the warning of God and prepares for it. And a foolish man keeps going through the intersection and suffers for
mm-hmm.
it. And what you call an accident, really, God was preparing you for it. But you have to understand, but once it happens, you got to be careful not to put it in that standard default box like it always was. And one example of this was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Franklin Delano Roosevelt in World War II. And I'm going to talk about it after this break, but understand, who would have ever thought, because he ran on, and the first president during World War I ran on, I am not going to take us to war. Mm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828. And type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now. If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And, you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about understanding the season, the moment. What do you think about Issachar? They were actually known the moment and the time. They understood the seasons and the timings of God and what was going on. And as we speak at this one moment, reported by Fox News, that they are
testing missiles. Israel has tested some missiles mm-hmm. just this morning. It was picked up by Russia's detection system.
And so they did. I heard that, but they actually knew that it was Israel testing.
Well, Israel came out and said, yeah.
With a joint exercise with America?
Yep.
In the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Which is like a bay. Right. It's not a big Mediterranean. It's not that big of a thing.
So too ballistic.
So understand now, that news came out, was reported right this moment as I'm talking to you about what I'm talking to you about. So you need to pay attention while you hear it as history, so you don't hear, so you hear it as a prophetic word versus it's going to be history to you. Because once it happens, once it's happened, chaos, confusion, these kind of things kick in. You'll never get a chance, and people, you just think differently. It's real difficult to go back and say there was a time called BC.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. And so in 1940, with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, there was a time when America, well, you know, President Woodrow Wilson barely, it's reportedly, he barely won the election. I believe it was from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, give me a moment on who he was running against. I mean, he just barely won it, but he won it, and he's the man that started the Bull Party and all that, the Bull Moose Party.
Mm-hmm.
But he won it because he said, I'm not going to go to war.
Right.
But he's the president, he's the first president that took us into world war. And it's like, you know, our faith is in God. Our faith's not in man. You can't, even if a man, and I remember that it's reportedly said that when some people were visiting the White House with President George W. Bush, and they said, are you concerned about the next president and what the next president will do? And he says, no. And he gets behind that desk and he's pointing to the desk at the Oval Office, which is that runs the nation here.
Right.
He'll find out he has very little options. He'll end up doing things the very same way that the others have, because it's a world. It's not like, right. It's not like a business that you start and you're going to run your business. I mean, the world, these things are happening and they dictate behaviors. And it's amazing how much similarity this current president, President Obama, is walking in the same direction. Now, here we are with weapons of mass destruction. And we're saying we're going to, he was saying that we want to get in here, which, by the way, I just want to say up front, and I love the fact, even if their compassion is misplaced and it's being used, I think it's wonderful for everybody to have compassion for these people who have suffered such great loss with these chemical weapons that people are compassionate. They want to do something about it. But just walking, you know, showing up and punching somebody in the chest who has the greatest stockpile of chemical weapons in the world and then just saying you're going to leave, it's like you're going to store up a hornet's nest here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, as I was saying earlier, that it was Theodore Roosevelt. I know it was Roosevelt, but it was Theodore Roosevelt and William. Theodore Roosevelt was running against Woodrow Wilson. And in that, so here you had FDR now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in October 1940. He said he's not going to, you know, he was going in with the deal, and mm-hmm. he was cranking out money. And pretty much, you know, when President Obama went in, it was reported by the news, I believe Fox News and CNN and all, he handed out the book, The New Deal, to all of his cabinet.
Huh.
And he's pretty much walking out the concept, because you had the Great Depression and Franklin Delano Roosevelt had mm-hmm. to bring everybody out of that. And I think maybe he just applied some of the same principles or whatever, but that was a book they were reading. But it's very interesting. Okay, here we are. Let's think about the other part of FDR. I mean, he rode the train of Lincoln, you know, mm-hmm. coming in from Illinois, and Lincoln went to war. Well, he didn't go to war, but he had to go to war.
Yeah. Right.
And it turned out really well, but it was Civil War. Woodrow Wilson went in saying there's no war, and all of a sudden the very first World War took place, and it happened, as we talked about last Friday, which you can actually hear on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And click on the torch, is that it started with the Archduke Ferdinand moment. And this is a million I think the biggest thing that the folks who are controlled by evil, they're so surprised about is the ability of today's people to not respond. And I really believe it's mostly because that they're lethargic and asleep.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's because they're not saying, no, stay calm. They're just uninformed and asleep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if they were awake, they would be screaming. And so all of a sudden, you know, something is not, and then it is. Well, here it was, all of a sudden, long story short, I'm not going to talk about the politics of it because he didn't force this on anybody because he actually put it up as the end of his presidency that gave everybody a chance not to vote for him the next time around. I mean, he did a lot of political maneuvering or whatever, you know, whatever about politics. But there was a moment where there was no draft. Why would there need to be any for draft? Because because I'm not going to go. I'm not a president that's going to take people to war. But understand the draft happened right before it wasn't happening. We went to war right before someone said, "I'm never going to go to war." Huh. Is that making sense? You know, I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to talk about. So we look back at like history and act like it always was. So all of a sudden in September of 1940, the U.S. Congress passed and President Roosevelt signed into law and resumed a compulsory, where you had to compulse people to sign up for military service. It's called the Selective Service. And during the next 6 weeks, men were required to register in Selective Service. And they would receive a draft notice from the government saying that you're going to war. And they did it off of a lottery. So not only were you told that you're not going to ever go to war by this leader, secondly, you were told that it's a voluntary army. But then it became compulsory where you're going to have to. And then they're just going to assign you a number. You have to register. And then they're going to, like a lottery, and look at all the people play lottery today. Imagine your number coming up and you're the winner.
Oh, wow.
And so on October 29th, 1940, Franklin Roosevelt in his cabinet office, you know, had a crowd gathered around him and they began to do the very first lottery. And that's what you're about to. I'm going to let you hear and you'll be able to see this. You'll see a video of this. This is a man who said that they would never, he ran on, I'm not going to go to war. And not only are we going to war now, but he's saying, you have to register, and we're going to draft you. Draft means this. Oh, by the way, Bob, and now, by the way, now Susan, because now you put yourself in the equation.
Right.
You're going to be in Syria next week with a gas mask on, fighting, you know, that kind of thing.
That's
like,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff. And so this is the very first number being drawn with the lottery system. And you'll hear it. It's the first number being drawn is 158. And that represented several people that had that number, the draft notice. But you'll hear this woman scream out in the background. You know why? Because her son had the number 158.
Oh, wow.
Listen up. This is President.
In September 19th.
This is President Franklin Delano Roosevelt doing what he said he would never do, go to war. Secondly, now he's forcing, at that time, sons. By the way, now it's sons and daughters, right? Everybody's wanting to be on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
And now they actually have a lottery going on. And this is that. Listen up. This is the president in 1940.
In September 1940, the Selective Service Act was passed. And for the first time in history, American boys were being drafted.
And what they're doing is they're actually showing everybody stir these numbers up the way you would stir up numbers right there. Right. And in the White House, the very White House you see on C-SPAN, they're stirring. Will your son's life be taken? Will your daughter's life be taken? That's what they're doing.
Mm. Wow.
Drafted during peacetime.
You have the confidence and the gratitude and the love of your countrymen. We are all with you in the task which enlists the services of all Americans, the task of keeping the peace in this new world of ours.
President Roosevelt announced draft order number one, the first peacetime draft number ever to be drawn.
Drawn by the Secretary of War is serial number 158.
You hear that scream? That was a mother whose son had 158. We have to wake up. Wow. There was a day this wasn't happening, and then there's a day it was happening. And what I'm going to talk to you about in the extra hour, I'm going to show you the Middle East. I'm going to show you what's happening over there with the Arab League. And why in the world, after us stirring up the Muslim Brotherhood, this Arab Spring over there, and now we're going to go get in the middle of this, just on top of this little small country called Israel, to fire a shot? She's surrounded. Israel is surrounded by enemies on every side. And now, with the urgency, for some reason, of our current executive branch, they wanted to surround Israel on her western border, on the Mediterranean. Now we're firing missiles, reportedly today, according to Fox News. Listen up. You gotta join us in the extra hour. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour, beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. My friend, I want to say too to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
I mean, it's all around the world in America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV, and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.